Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. Today, we're going to be exploring the idea of aligning our money with our values. Of course, this isn't a particularly new idea, well, in a broad sense, because people have been putting their money where their mouth is and talking with their feet since, you know, they had mouths and feet and money. But how does that work with investing where the aim of the game is to make money? Is there a fundamental trade-off between values-based investing and returns? And are issues of sustainability and ethics things that we should care about when it comes to investing, or should they be left at the door? Well, here to help us dig into some of those questions and more is my colleague, managing editor of FS Sustainability and host of the Greenaway podcast, Rachel Bacchus. Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm absolutely delighted, Tom. And I think, can we call this our first crossover episode?
We can. We're making it happen.
Innovating.
I love it. But truly, it's great to have you on the show.
Pleasure.
I'm very excited about this topic. So to start us off, Rachel, what do we actually mean by sustainability in this context?
It's a great question, and it doesn't have a precise answer, which is unfortunate or fortunate, depending on what side of the aisle you sit on. So when we talk about sustainability and ESG investing, we refer to a really broad umbrella, which can go all the way from just including key environmental, social, or corporate governance issues like, you know, does a company have a net zero target? Are they making sure there's no modern slavery in their factory supply chain? You know, are they paying their executives in ways that maximize shareholder and stakeholder benefit? Just on the one hand, and not having, just using that as a data source to increase risk and return outcomes, moving along towards greater and greater consideration of those ESG issues with an increasing values lens. So that goes all the way out to impact investing and ethical investing, where an investor's personal or, you know, group values come into consideration when they decide, you know, that trade-off between risk and opportunity. So it's, I kind of think of it as an umbrella as opposed to sort of a spectrum, as opposed to a one solid definition.
I like that umbrella metaphor. I think that works well. But what are we actually kind of talking about here in terms of investment scope? Are we just talking about, you know, the individual shares that you or I might hold, or does it go beyond that?
It can be the individual shares that people invest in directly, all the way through to their choice in superannuation fund options. And it's a really broad broad sector at this point in Australia. As you mentioned, you can trace it all the way back to, say, the origination of Sharia finance, for example, if you're talking about values-based investing, where people of the Muslim faith integrate their faith tenets into the decisions they make on investing. But sort of in the modern context, in Australia, we've been able to track through our sister company, Rainmaker Information, that there are $444 billion in change in ESG, ethical, and socially responsible investment choices at the end of March 2022 here in Australia. So we're actually talking about a really big scope of money. So it can be anything from, as I said, you know, the direct shares that you trade yourself, through to ETFs, managed funds, separately managed accounts, and also your superannuation fund can be a source of ESG-based investing.
So that's a huge amount of money. And I guess there's a reason for that. But a question that I have to ask, that I guess relates to that is, and I'm sure you've been asked this many times before, Rachel, but do you have to sacrifice performance to invest sustainably?
Over the long term, no. Again, Rainmaker Information has run numbers on this because we like to be sure that what we're talking about is empirically matched by the numbers. And so, sorry, I'm just going to quote for some numbers, so I'm just going to make sure that I'm getting that down correctly. Let's just take the example of superannuation, Tom. So if we're looking at your average workplace superannuation ESG option versus a regular benchmark of a growth fund option within super versus just a balanced index over 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 7 year, and 10 year time horizons, the returns from the ESG option basically track the growth and the balanced index. So over the 10-year mark, ESG options return 7.7% versus 8.4% for growth index. So if you're in a growth option in your super fund, you might have done a little bit better versus a balanced option, which is just a regular option, 7.1%. So you're outperforming the balanced index. You're slightly underperforming the growth index over a 10-year time horizon. Now, that's the long term. Over the short term, you know, if you're choosing a fund that doesn't invest in fossil fuel companies, your oil, your gas producers, you did miss out on some significant returns in 2022. So it's a trade-off, right? Are you going to go to maximize your financial value? Are you going to invest in a way that maximizes your personal values? And that's a decision that's up to yourself in conjunction with whatever financial advisor you may use.
But just to underline the point there, Rachel, over the long run, it doesn't seem like there's a huge disadvantage necessarily.
That's correct.
To matching.
And in certain years, in the short term, it can even you can even see outperformance. So, for example, during the height of COVID, when the healthcare and technology sector was going gangbusters, a lot of ESG funds were outperforming the index because they're more heavily exposed towards those companies on a variety of grounds, either because they're trying to maximize for public health good, or they're minimizing on companies that might have heavy fossil fuel exposure. And so healthcare and IT tend to have slightly lower profiles from that perspective. So it's, some years there's outperformance, some years, if you're not exposed to fossil fuels like last year and into this year, you're getting that underperformance. But over the long term, your returns are like for like, relatively speaking.
That's so interesting. Well, I think that kind of not necessarily dispels that myth, but at least gives people some numbers to think about when they're weighing that up. Rachel, one of the questions that I had coming into this chat was thinking about diversification. And, if you kind of eliminate or strip away, some of the companies that don't necessarily align with your values, doesn't kind of diversification become an issue at that point then?
It can, particularly in a country like Australia, where our main index, if we're talking listed equities, our main index are so heavily geared towards mining and extraction and banks, which lend to the mining and extraction sector. So there's ways of compensating for that. It depends on your strategy. I mean, if you're invested in global equities, you obviously have a lot more choice of diversification, particularly in the listed equity space. Or you can choose techniques. So, and this goes back to what is ESG investing as well, that broad umbrella term. So you can invest in ways where you're selecting best in breed, so you're saying, okay, I really want the returns from oil and gas extraction companies because the dividends are so strong, the return is so strong in the short term. So I'm going to pick the best in the sector, the ones that have the relative best performance on environmental, social, and corporate governance, and leave the ones that I find that are scoring poorly on those metrics to the side. You could also go for a diversified strategy in general, where you're not just investing in equities directly, but you're choosing a fund or a product where you're getting exposure to equities, fixed income, maybe a little bit of private equity. And this is where, looking at your superannuation fund option might be a really healthy, healthy choice for you to explore as well.
I guess it comes back to the individual, doesn't it? But it seems like there's a lot of scope for individuals to kind of cater towards their own desires and within that. And Rachel, where can people, start to look if they're interested in diving into a particular company to see if it kind of matches with their values or what they're interested in terms of their investing strategy on the ESG front?
Well, look, the good news is that the data around ESG is improving by leaps and bounds year on year. So if your listeners are people who directly trade shares, a lot of platforms are starting to offer their clients access to ESG ratings and research platforms that might draw on a plethora of providers. And this is another interesting part of the market. Unlike, say, credit rating agencies where, the standards relatively align, sort of from provider to provider. ESG research and ratings is a lot more opinionated. So you go with a couple of different providers potentially that can give you a more holistic picture. You can also, again, go to, if you've got everybody who has work-based super has the opportunity to go and look at their super funds individual offerings. And then if you're looking for, a product, if you're looking for a managed fund or an SMA, or even if you're looking for a financial advisor that might be in the more ethical space, I always like to tell people there's this great resource through the Responsible Investment Association Australasia called responsibleinvestments.org. Sorry, let me just double sure whether it's responsibleinvestment.org, singular. And that is a website where you can put in what your preferences are in terms of your values, and it will actually show you a list of products and services that you can that align to your financial aims as well as to your ethical persuasion based on RIA's responsible investment certification. RIA takes a sort of a real holistic view of product providers that submit for consideration to make sure that what they're saying on the tin and in the product disclosure statement matches the action internally in the fund. And so I always like to drop that one because it's a good resource. It's really user-friendly and accessible, and people can start exploring what their options are in terms of products on the market.
Well, we'll definitely pop that in the show notes for anyone who's interested. And you've given me a very natural segue to my final question, Rachel, which is one that's been getting a fair few headlines recently as well, which is greenwashing. Mm. So what is greenwashing, and why is it, I guess, something that people should be aware of?
Yeah, look, greenwashing is Nick, if it isn't climate change, it's greenwashing when it comes to the topic on everybody's list in the ESG sector. Greenwashing is a huge concern for the industry at the moment. To give it sort of a technical definition, greenwashing refers to misleading statements that would make an investor believe that the product that they're investing in or buying, because it's not just about financial services, it's about, you know, are you buying, you know, the car you're buying, the house you're buying, sort of solar panels, things like that, that the statements that are being made would mislead you into believing that a product or service is more sustainable than it really is in practice. And it's become a real issue the regulators in the market are engaging with. So ASIC, the securities watchdog, the ACCC, the competition watchdog, have all put out information and have been doing investigations of their, you know, their relative regulated entities, and have come up where there've been certain shortcomings. So currently, there've been fines that have been levered, and one superannuation fund will be taken to court over their greenwashing allegations. And fundamentally, it's about a misalignment, right? So if a fund says, for example, that we are tobacco free, but yet they're invested in Coles or Woolies, which sells cigarettes on the market, is that really tobacco free? You know, and it can be very fine levels of difference, but it's about being precise, making sure that the contents of the tin match what it says on the label. And a lot of people in the industry right now are going back and reviewing their products and services to make sure that they're keeping in line with the regulation.
And that sounds great from a consumer perspective, because at the end of the day, you want to be able to rely on the information that you're given and to,
100%.
Invest in a company or a fund that matches with that.
Exactly. Look, and a lot of this is going to go around like net zero commitments. So any number of companies in Australia, around the world, are saying that they'll be net zero by 2050. Well, what does that actually mean? And how are they planning to get there? And when you're forecasting out, sort of 27 years in the future, are you actually making claims that are tenable and backing it by the action over the short term? And so look, I know an awful lot of lawyers and risk people who are closely looking at documentation across Australia to make sure that what's being said can be supported defensively.
Good is all I can say. That sounds great. Rachel, this is such a massive subject, and I think you've done an excellent job of explaining some of the basics to us today. So thank you so much for coming on. But before we let you go, where can listeners find more of you if they want to hear your voice or read your words?
Oh, well, thank you for the opportunity to plug my pluggables, Tom. You can listen to the Greener Way podcast, which is a podcast where we have interesting, informative, hopefully entertaining discussions with key people in across corporate Australia, in investment in Australia, just talking about the big issues and the progress we're making towards ESG. You can also go to www.fssustainability.com.au and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter where we do a deep dive every week in sustainability issues for investors in corporate Australia.
I would highly recommend those both, listeners. So go
too
and
kind,
give Rachel
Tom,
some
too
support.
Kind.
Thank you so much for coming on board today, Rachel. Seriously, I've learned a lot and it's been such an interesting chat.
Absolute pleasure, and thanks for giving me the time, Tom.
We'll have you back on for sure.
Perfect.
Before you take off those headphones, though, dear listener, don't forget that we'd love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas for the show. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And if you love the show, you can help spread the word by sharing it or recommending it to your own friends or family, or you can leave us a glowing review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Both of those really do help us out, so we really are very grateful to those of you who have done so already. Last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news and views on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we will be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.